Welcome to the Top Order podcast. It's Binksy and Baldy with you this evening to talk about the last three games that we've had since our power rankings recording on Monday night, New Zealand time. We're going to dig a little bit into some themes of the IPL, as well as covering a little bit about those games. So are Gujarat now done? Is this the turning point for spin starting to play a bigger part in the IPL? Who would want to be a seamer? And we'll talk a couple of wicket keepers as well. Joss Butler and DK. Will he go round again? All coming up on the Top Order podcast. Stay tuned. Well, mate, good to be chatting, albeit virtually, this evening. We've drawn the Thursday shift this week to talk a little bit of IPL. Look, as always with this tournament, it does keep on giving, doesn't it, through the course of the tournament so far. We're sitting at seven games. Rajasthan have played at the top of the table. If we go down to the bottom, the RCB have played seven as well. And then pretty much everyone in the middle, Delhi Caps and Gujarat, seven as well. But everyone else, six games in. We recorded Monday night, and I think Monday night was the RCB facing off against Sunrisers. Lippy's not here to sing the song. But we talked about whether or not we'd see a return to form for one of the gun Australian batsmen in white ball cricket and red ball cricket, I think, over the course of the last 12 months. And he didn't hesitate to deliver. We got that famous celebration from Mr. T Head with the helmet balanced on the bat handle. But yeah, records galore being broken in this IPL. What did we make, I guess, firstly and foremost of that game before we come on to some of the broader topics?
Yeah, evening, mate. Happy to be here. Evening, listeners, and welcome to another Thursday night Binksy Baldy doubleheader on the IPL. But yeah, let's start with that Sunrisers RCB game. It was huge for RCB to get their season back on track, and we found out that it's not. They've dug a hole and it's filling with water, to be fair. There's nothing going right for RCB at the moment, so much so that Glenn Maxwell has stepped down from the team. He's asked to be not selected for refresh of his physical and mental health, and the news didn't get any better for RCB fans on that Tuesday morning New Zealand time, Monday night India time game, as Sunrisers broke their own record, 287 for three. Good score in a 50 over game 10 years ago, now achieved in just 20 overs. And as you said, Travis Head back into form with 100 off just 39 balls, and then Heinrich Klassen, if it's possible, playing a supporting role, 67 off 31. The thing that stood out for me watching the highlights of this game, I didn't watch it live, just the clean hitting from those Sunrisers batters. There were so many sixes that disappeared into the top tier or even onto the roof of that Bengaluru Stadium. And it is not the biggest ground in the world, but still some of those sixes that were hit in that game were just delightful. But I mean, what should we take out of this? Because some of it was magnificent hitting and it would be six on any ground, but there is a deeper issue here at play in terms of the balance between bat and ball, isn't there?
Yeah, look, it's been a comment and a bit of a theme across a number of different media outlets over the course of the last three or four days, and particularly now talking about back-to-back records really for Sunrisers going past their own, whatever it was, 270-odd. And look, I think it's a matter of time before we actually see someone get to 300 in the course of this this tournament. Batting was pretty sweet for both sides, wasn't it? I mean, you're pretty gutted to be a team that's got 262 off your 20 overs and you end up losing the game by 25 runs or so. I think what we saw was some clean hitting from a number of players throughout the course of that game. Yes, small ground, but I think if I take anything away, I said in the intro, I wouldn't want to be a seamer. And we particularly talked, I think, on Monday night about the bowling lineup for the RCB and how they tried to make some changes through the course of the tournament. They went with the little Will Jacks opening the bowling. You've got to say that experiment worked for them in terms of economy rates. He was the lowest economy rate out of the RCB bowlers. But all of their seamers got dealt to pretty harshly. Going for anywhere between sort of 12 and 18 and 17, 18 runs per bowler. But look, let's put it into context. It wasn't a massive amount better for some of the other seamers on offer for Sunrisers. Bhuvi Kumar going for 15s as well. But yeah, look, I guess it's just the fact that probably Sunrisers, well, definitely Sunrisers, having a better tournament of it than the RCB. And You know, they managed to get over the line despite some late heroics from DK, who I think has announced or was going to announce his retirement. I think he got outed actually by Mike Atherton, because I think they were obviously in the commentary box together maybe over the course of the India England Test series, and DK I think had said in confidence to Athers that this might be his last IPL. Athers didn't realise that wasn't public knowledge, I think, and mentioned it on a podcast somewhere, which has lit up the subreddits, I think, for Dinesh Kartik and RCB fans. But on his current form, you've got to think he might go around again next year.
Well, not only might he go round again, but if he wasn't retired internationally, he'd certainly be a consideration for the backup keeping spot for the World Cup squad in India. There's been no better finisher in terms of the IPL, as far as I'm concerned, this season. And I include Rinku Singh, I include Tawatia, I include Hardik in that role. He has been outstanding. He's been super consistent as well. Not only has he come off once or twice, but he's been very, very good for an RCB side that continued to have to score, in this case, 260 just to be competitive in the game. And Faf's comment last week about the bowlers being on the on the back foot all the time, it continues to be a problem for RCB. And in this case, it's a problem of epic proportions. The highest scoring T20 game ever. We've had several such games in the course of this IPL in terms of, there being records set left, right and centre. I think there were 22 sixes in that Sunrisers innings, if I'm looking at the scorecard correctly, which is just absolutely astounding. On average, more than one six per over in the innings. Who'd want to be a seam bowler? You're absolutely right.
Border, you made the point, the balance between bat and ball. I think we've obviously, seen Travis Head was substituted, wasn't he, in this game? So, essentially playing one half of that that impact player role. I think Mayank Markandi coming in for him. But what do we think, what do we think of that balance of bat and ball? Has this impact player role had two bigger impacts, if I can say the word impact again in the sentence? Is it the bats? Is it the ground? Is it a combination of all these things? And I guess as well, what do we want to see? I think if we'll come on to talk about a game that was at the other end of the scoring spectrum, GT and Delhi Caps a little bit later on, which was 80 odd plays, 92 or whatever. What are we taking from some of these run fests? Is it enjoyable? Do we need to restore the balance, or are we comfortable that T20 is the format where you do want to see the ball going into the car park?
And maybe that's the compromise for the cricket diehards, is that T20 is a game that is much more akin to the baseball home run derby. But I do have concerns about the development of fast bowling and bowling talent in particular for future generations. I mean, who's going to look at that game on Monday night, Tuesday night, morning New Zealand time and think, yeah, I want to be a bowler. I want to grow up and be like bowler X in that game. And yes, we saw Pat Cummins, who's one of the best bowlers in the world. I'm sure we'll have praise again for Jasprit Bumrah throughout the course of this IPL. And there have been other bowlers who've bowled economically and bowled well throughout the tournament, but they're few and far between. And even though Pat Cummins, I thought, bowled really, really well on that game on Monday night, certainly in the highlights, he looked like he had done a really good job, still went for 43 off his four overs. So I think the concern is, are we creating a game of cricket in total, on the whole, that promotes the generation of a balance between bat and ball, and has kids watching the game going, I want to be a batter, I want to be like Virat or like Faf or like DK or like Travis Head, and I also want to be like Pat Cummins, or I want to be like Harpreet Brah, or I want to be like Rhys Topley. And I don't think that on the evidence of that game, we've found the right answer. The corollary, though, is that when batting conditions aren't in favour of the batters, as we saw in that Gujarat game, we see collapses. We see very low scores. There seems to be an absence of adjustment to, difficult conditions and being able to make that change and go, okay, well, 160 is a really good score here. Yes, we have seen it a couple of times in this IPL, but I think we're seeing more often sides go, well, I'm just going to keep going. And if I get out, it doesn't matter. We're just going to keep going and we'll take that risk. And if it doesn't come off, we'll be all out for 80 or 90. And I'm not sure that it's a great outcome for cricket fans that we're teaching kids just to go at everything, and that there isn't a an avenue for guys like Kane Williamson and Joe Root, who are terrific, terrific cricketers, to have a role in T20 cricket. Because at the moment, if you have a look on balance, the guys like that, you know, Smith, Root, Williamson, aren't featuring in this IPL at all, or if they are, they've got very, very limited roles. So I think there is a redress to come to, and I don't think this is probably the right avenue for it, because we've only got 20 to 25 minutes on this pod, and I could spend hours and hours talking about how we would solve that for the game of cricket. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that, Bordy. And I think you've been doing, as normal, a little bit of statistical analysis, I think, leading into your prep for this pod. I think there is a pun coming, and it is intended. You know, are we about to see the turning point of the tournament in terms of a move to see, spin probably has certainly dominated in terms of the lowest economy rates, but typically, you know, we're going to see some of these pitches played on for maybe a second and third time over the course of the next few weeks in the tournament. Are we going to see the impact of spin be even more stark as we come into, I guess, the second half of the round robin phase of the tournament, or is it a bit early for that, do you think?
Oh, we have started to see some evidence of it. You have a look at the best economy rates in the IPL at the moment, and other than maybe Patirana, certainly Jasprit, there's a couple of other names on here as well.
Trent
but it's
Bolt's
mostly
up there, isn't he? I think from a senior perspective,
Trent Bolt's up there actually. He's under eights, but most of the guys who have bowled significant numbers of overs who've gone for under eight and over are spinners. You know, Mayank Yadav's in there, but he's only bowled nine overs for LSG before he got injured. But you have a look at the big names on here: Kuldeep, Maharaj, Akshar, Nareen, Nabi, Harpreet Brah, Ravindra Jadeja. I think he's on this. Oh no, Rachin Ravindra and Ravindra Jadeja are on this list. Rashid Khan, Krunal Pandya, Ravi Bishnoi. So they're all like lots and lots of spinners on this list. And then you've got, you know, the likes of Patirana, Bolt, Jasprit and Pat Cummins. You know, the elite T20 bowlers or test bowlers are on that list too, but there are lots of guys that are going for well over eight and over in this IPL across the tournament. We are seeing a little bit of an emergence of spin. I think, as you said off air prior to going on, you hit it right on the head. The Gujarat game is not necessarily a spin wicket. It's a tacky wicket, and you absolutely nailed it. Got the moisture content wrong and the preparation not quite right in that wicket. Not necessarily an older pitch, I don't think, that took too much spin. So I'm going to borrow your point and give you credit for it. But yeah, I think we are starting to see the emergence of spin become more of a factor. And maybe we will see scores come down a little bit. Maybe we will see 150 to 170 be a super competitive score in games going forward.
Yeah, talking about that game, I think Rishabh Pant was certainly one of the award winners. I don't know whether he got the moped, the toaster, or the lifetime supply of cement or whatever the prizes are on offer from these various sponsors. But he had some impact in that game with the gloves. We've seen him with the bat over the course of the last couple of weeks. You're happy to see him back, and yeah, a couple of really smart stumpings in this game for him. And yeah, he's almost, we talked about it, he's almost definitely on the plane for that T20 World Cup, isn't he?
Oh, you'd have to think so. I did like the second stumping where it kind of was almost a stumping by accident, and then you got the sort of almost the Brett Lee giggles afterwards. He just plays with such passion and such joy, and it's great to see him back playing cricket. I think his joy that he brings to the game is infectious. I think Crick Info might have even covered this in an article this week, how enjoyable it is to see Rishabh Pant back in the game. And I hope he makes the trip to the World Cup. It's certainly got his team coming back into a bit of form. Binksy, they've got two on the trot now. Is this a bit of quartz, or are they actually on a little bit of a golden run here, Delhi Capitals, with two on the bounce?
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this Monday night, didn't we? We've only seen, I think, Rajasthan went on a run of four. I think Sunrisers went on a run of three. Super Giants went on a run of three. And yeah, there's a bunch of teams that have done two in a row. I think it's probably a bit early to kind of roll out the bunting just yet for Delhi Capitals. But they've certainly got themselves back in the mix, haven't they? I think Rajasthan and and KK, oh, I've got an important game tonight, I think against, or no, tomorrow night, I think that will be against the RCB. So that's going to really decide whether or not that drags, you know, Chennai, Sunrisers, Lucknow and Delhi all into that battle for the final four, or whether or not, you know, we've got two places that we can almost ink in, can't we, with Rajasthan and KKR, if KKR get one more over the line, and particularly if they get this next one over the line, because then they don't play again for a week or so. But yeah, good for Delhi. I guess the other factor that we've started to see a little bit of the press now as well is players that might leave a little bit early for the World Cup as well. So I think we might not the Indian players, but I think we might see some of the overseas players start to peel off potentially to prepare for their national sides as well. So there's lots of intrigue, I think, coming over the course of the next couple of weeks. You know, if this was a golf major, we're kind of coming into moving day, aren't we? We're coming into the afternoon of that third round, I suppose, to a certain extent, particularly with this round robin stage.
Yeah, you're right. And there are a couple of teams that are on the move, right? Sunrisers are definitely on the move at the moment. Like you say, yeah, they've reeled off three on the bounce. They're a moving side. Delhi Capitals trending in the right direction. I mean, it's hard to believe that Delhi Capitals, we had them done. They were done three games ago. Now they've reeled off two on the bounce. They've got Sunrisers next, which is huge for them because Sunrisers, yeah, are only 2 points ahead of them on the ladder. They themselves, of course, as I said, are on a bit of a roll. If Delhi Capitals can nail that, then they've got Gujarat, who, like I said about Punja, RCB, Gujarat have dug themselves a hole and it's filling with water. They are in a spot of bother, Gujarat. I think they've lost three out of their last four. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, they could go back and win their next three, Gujarat. I mean, they're so inconsistent. Who knows what they're going to do? But yeah, it's an interesting one. You mentioned the impact players from the overseas. I think Crick Info had a really good article this week during the week around the impact of the uncapped Indian player. And I think we're seeing more and more impact this year from uncapped Indian players than ever before. There's been lots of faith shown in young Indian players over the course of this IPL, particularly in finishing roles. And we're starting to see them have real value. So even though you're going to have a situation where there might be the odd overseas player or two disappear to the World Cup pastures a little bit early, those teams that have got young Indian players or uncapped Indian players as part of their sides now could really benefit in the back half of the tournament because they're the guys who are having an impact at the moment.
Yeah, and look, I think that's a result of the way that a lot of international teams are playing their cricket now. They're playing with freedom, and I think they're giving these young guys an opportunity, particularly to come in as impact players, and probably setting them up to say, do you know what, you're coming in because we're either in the poo or, you know, we're in a really, really good position. There's nothing riding on this for you. If you come off, great. If you don't, you know, we're doing this because we're using this as an option. So I think they're giving freedom to some of those guys, and yeah, absolutely taking their chances. I think, yeah, particularly with the bat, right? As you said, in those kind of finishing roles, and it's dangerous when you can bring someone into bat number eight when you've had seven gun guys already going ahead of you. And yeah, it probably talks a little bit to some of the scores as well.
Yeah, you're right. It's the impact player rule that's causing the batting lineups to get elongated like that. And you've got what used to be a scenario where you had, you know, three or four all-rounders, as many all-rounders as you could fit in your side as possible, and T20 was the formula for success. Now there are more and more specialists at batting or bowling because of the impact player rule. Fewer and fewer quality all-rounders, although I think that's just a function of there aren't that many. Well, there are some, but what we are seeing is that gun Indian player, the uncapped Indian player coming into the side, whether or not as an impact player or because there's another gun international coming in or out as an impact player. So that is one good outcome from the impact player rule. Gujarat, are they done? Are we prepared to write them off? They are 3-4, I guess, but lost three out of four. They haven't looked great, to be honest. This was where we expected them to go on a run if they were going to make noise. They've still got a chance to do that with games against Punjab, Delhi again, yeah, and then RCB to come. But I don't know. I think Stu's concern about the form of this side is starting to prove a little bit justified. It's been a good week for the Lipshore Index thus far.
Yeah, look, they've probably got the three games or four games that, yeah, as you mentioned, Punjab Kings and then Delhi again, and then two games against the RCB, who are obviously down the bottom. So they then, you know, then really get into the business end and have to play CSK, KKR and the Sunrisers. So they've probably got to win, you'd say, at least three of four, you would say, to be having a level of confidence, because then they're still probably going to need to win one of those final three. If our predictions are needing eight wins is where they need to be. But yeah, difficult, isn't it? Because we've written a few teams off. I think we can definitely stick a pin, through the RCB. I'm sticking a pin through Punjab as well. I think we've got to stick to our guns and say that we said the Delhi Capitals were done early doors. We can't backtrack on that now, Michael.
Well, I think we're going to have to backtrack a little bit if they continue to win. We're going to know once we get to the Sunrisers game, I guess, right?
Let's be wrong with conviction.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, Gujarat are done then. Just a bit of Aussie watch before we move on. Has it been a great week for Aussies in the IPL other than maybe Travis Head? Pat Cummins has actually had a low-key pretty good IPL, I thought, actually, from a captaincy point of view, and also from the fact that he's bowled pretty well. It doesn't look like it when you look at the scorecards, but I think he's bowled reasonably well in big scoring games because his batters have given them freedom. But yeah, Maxwell has been withdrawn from RCB or is asked to be withdrawn and stood down. No Cameron Green at the moment. Marsh, home, of course, with a hamstring injury. Stoinis has underperformed this week. Mitchell Starc is up and down. Not much from David Warner and not much from Matthew Wade. So it's Jake Fraser-McGurk, Pat Cummins and Travis Head carrying the banner for Aussies in the IPL. So don't read too much into that, but it's not all roses for the green and gold boys over in India at the moment.
Can we finish on a positive note then and slightly patriotic, Gordy? I do just want to have a chat about Josh Butler, Josh Butler, if you have seen the ECB April Fool's joke, that everyone calls him Josh. So they he said he was going to change his name to Josh. I don't know if you picked up on that. Quite amusing on the day. But his 100 in that game, look, we've said it on the Slack channel. There was some question marks leading into the game against the RCB that, you know, did he need a run? Or was he, you know, in danger of being dropped after some low scores early on? Hadn't got past, I think, 13 in the first three games, peeled off 100 against the RCB and then 107 against the KKR. And look, I'll probably get the math wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that after seventh wicket, I think when Rovman Powell was out, maybe Butler scored. They needed, I think, at that point nearly 50 to win, and nobody else scored a run except Butler in that. And he faced, I think, all 19 of the last 19 deliveries to get them home off the last ball of the game when he was absolutely cooked. He was drenched. He was, you know, he's a really, really fit guy. And he was struggling physically in that heat. And look, I don't think I've seen too many better icings of a limited overs chase in my time. I know we can have a bit of hyperbole and recency bias, but man, that was a good innings from Josh Butler.
Unbelievable innings, because Sunil Narine had put KKR within touching distance of knocking over Rajasthan at the top of the table and laying down a marker to the rest of the tournament to say that Rajasthan are beatable. As it is, Josh Butler stepped up and really, I think, put a gap in the rest of this competition. I know Stuart's got some concerns about Rajasthan overall, but they're 6-1 now. They've beaten KKR in a very, very close contest overall, but they've really laid down a marker that they are the team to beat in this tournament, and that KKR, despite possibly, I think, putting one of the best performances we've seen from them, certainly from a batting perspective. You have a look up and down the scorecard, you have a look at the way that they constructed their innings, other than Phil Salt's rare low score. They made 223, and they should have the bowling attack to defend that, but they don't. And that's the concern, I think, that hangs over KKR for the rest of this tournament. And the question mark, I think, has to remain. It has to be asked, is Mitchell Starc holding this KKR team back from being a genuine contender? Because all other things being equal, if Starc gets 3 for 30 off his four overs in that game instead of none for 50, I think KKR win that game. And yeah. I think you know, when KKR have looked like a championship side, Mitchell Starc has played well. There's been two games where he's really made the ball talk and done things and made things happen. One, he went wicketless but bowled really well. Another one, he got a couple of wickets. But other than that, it's been slim pickings for Mitchell Starc, and it really is becoming quite a telling point for KKR. And I think, you know, again, Stu pointed it out in his Lipshaw Index. I think that is the thing that will hold them back from being genuine championship contenders, because I think we've established that they're a playoff team. Am I right?
Yeah, look, I think we've definitely established they're a, well, I've definitely established they're a playoff team. That there's a bit of bias in there because they were one of my picks at the start of the tournament. But yeah, I think they've got the ability. And I think once we get into that playoffs stage, you know, it kind of does reset the dial a little bit, because you're then just a couple of games away from playing for some silverware. So I think a good win for Rajasthan probably just enhances their pedigree. But, you know, we've seen plenty of teams as recently as this last World Cup, haven't we? India had gone unbeaten to the final, and it only takes one game and you don't have the trophy. So, yeah, still work to do for Rajasthan, but they're looking pretty good. Baldy, shall we call it quits? We're 5 minutes over budget already, but that's a pretty good result on the Top Order podcast to be only 5 minutes over budget for a pod.
Yeah, no, that works for me. Let's get together back again Monday and put a fork in a couple of more of these sides, and then have them come to the fore immediately after. I'm prepared to make heaps of calls on this pod and get them all wrong if it gets teams' fortunes turned around. So I would say that Mumbai Indians probably the team that will have a big week this week, because I wrote them off earlier in the week. They've got a game against Punjab coming up next.
Yeah, so that's happening tonight. So they could join that pack on 6 points, albeit they'll have played seven games ahead of Lucknow. Yeah, just six at the moment. But yeah, it's an exciting few days. We've got plenty of games coming up. We'll get together on Monday, and I think by that stage we'll be seven or eight games further into the tournament. So we'll be able to make some predictions at around about the halfway stage of the IPL in terms of completion by that point, just a little bit in excess of that, I think, actually, on Monday when we do our Lipshaw Index power rankings. So patent pending on that one. But yeah, we will be back in your feed probably Monday night or Tuesday morning New Zealand time, and will be when the next podcast hits your feed. But for now, it's good night and good bless from us here in Auckland. Hope you're enjoying the content. Please do make the effort to share it with a friend or colleague or teammate, if you can, really helps us grow our little humble New Zealand podcast. But for now, it is good night. We'll see you next time. See you later.